Chapter 44. The Dark Along the Ways. In the darkness just before dawn, Rand followed Moraine down to the back hall where Master Gil and the others were waiting, Nynaeve and Egwene as anxiously as loyal, Perrin almost as calm as the warder. Matt stayed on Rand's heels as if he were afraid to be even a little alone now, even as much as a few feet away. The cook and her helpers straightened, staring as the party passed silently into the kitchen, already brightly lit and hot with preparations for breakfast. It was not usual for patrons of the inn to be up and out at that hour. At Master Gil's soothing words, the cook gave a loud sniff and slapped her dough down hard. They were all back to tending griddles and kneading dough before Rand reached the stableyard door. Outside, the night was still pitch black. To Rand, everyone else was only a darker shadow at best. He followed the innkeeper and Land blindly, blind in truth, hoping Master Gil's knowledge of his own stableyard and the warder's instincts would get them across it without someone breaking a leg. Loyal stumbled more than once.
"I don't see why we can't have just one light," the Ogier grumbled. "We don't go running about in the dark in the steading. I'm an Ogier, not a cat."
Rand had a sudden image of Loyal's tufted ears, twitching irritably. The stable loomed up suddenly out of the night, a threatening mass until the stable door creaked open, spilling a narrow stream of light into the yard. The innkeeper only opened it wide enough for them to go in one at a time, and hastily pulled it to behind Perrin, almost clipping his heels. Rand blinked in the sudden light inside. The stablemen were not surprised by their appearance, as the cook had been. Their horses were saddled and waiting. Mondarb stood arrogantly, ignoring everyone but Lan, but Aldeeb stretched her nose out to nuzzle Moraine's hand. There was a pack horse, bulky with wicker panniers, and a huge animal with hairy fetlocks, taller even than the warder's stallion, for Loyal. It looked big enough to pull a loaded haywain by itself, but compared with the Ogier, it seemed a pony. Loyal eyed the big horse and muttered doubtfully,
"My own feet have always been good enough."
Master Gil motioned to Rand. The innkeeper was lending him a bay almost the color of his own hair, tall and deep of chest, but with none of the fire in his step that Cloud had had, Rand was glad to see. Master Gil said his name was Red. Egwene went straight to Bella and Nynaeve to her long-legged mare. Matt brought his dun-colored horse over by Rand.
"Parents making me nervous," he muttered.
Rand looked at him sharply.
"Well, he's acting strange. Don't you see it, too? I swear it's not my imagination, or...
Rand nodded. Not the dagger taking hold of him again, thank the light. "He is Matt. But just be easy. Moraine knows about... whatever it is. Perrin's fine." He wished he could believe it, but it seemed to satisfy Matt at least a little.
"Of course," Matt said hastily, still watching Perrin out of the corner of his eye. "I never said he wasn't."
Master Gil conferred with the head groom. That leathery-skinned man, with a face like one of the horses, knuckled his forehead and hurried to the back of the stable. The innkeeper turned to Moraine with a satisfied smile on his round face.
"Remy says the way is clear, Aes Sedai."
The rear wall of the stable appeared solid and stout, lined with heavy racks of tools. Remy and another stableman cleared away the hay forks, rakes, and shovels, then reached behind the racks to manipulate hidden latches. Abruptly, a section of the wall swung inward on hinges so well concealed that Rand was not sure he could find them, even with the disguised door standing open. Light from the stable illuminated a brick wall only a few feet away.
"It's only a narrow run between buildings," the innkeeper said, "but nobody outside this stable knows there's a way into it from here. White cloaks or white cockades, there'll not be any watchers to see where you come out."
The Aes Sedai nodded. "Remember, good innkeeper, if you fear any trouble from this, write to Shariam Sedai of the Blue Adja in Tarvalin, and she will help. I fear my sisters and I have a good deal to put right already for those who have helped me."
Master Gil laughed, not the laugh of a worried man.
"Why, Aes Sedai, you've already given me the only inn in all of Camelin without rats. What more could I ask for? I can double my custom on that alone." His grin faded into seriousness.
Whatever you're up to, the Queen holds with Tarvalin, and I hold with the Queen. So I wish you well. The light illumine you, Aes Sedai. The light illumine you all.
The light illumine you also, Master Gil, Moraine replied with a bow of her head. But if the light is to shine on any of us, we must be quick.
Briskly, she turned to Loyal.
Are you ready?
With a wary look at its teeth, the Ogier took the reins of the big horse. Trying to keep that mouth the length of the reins from his hand, he led the animal to the opening at the back of the stable. Raimi hopped from one foot to the other, impatient to close it again. For a moment, Loyal paused with his head cocked, as if feeling a breeze on his cheek.
This way, he said, and turned down the narrow alley.
Moraine followed right behind Loyal's horse, then Rand and Matt. Rand had the first turn leading the pack horse. Nynaeve and Egwene made the middle of the column, with Perrin behind them, and Lan bringing up the rear. The hidden door swung hastily shut as soon as Mondarb stepped into the dirt alleyway. The snick-snick of latches locking, shutting them off, sounded unnaturally loud to Rand. The run, as Master Gil had called it, was very narrow indeed, and even darker than the stable yard, if that was possible. Tall, blank walls of brick or wood lined both sides, with only a narrow strip of black sky overhead. The big woven baskets slung on the pack horse scraped the buildings on both sides. The panniers bulged with supplies for the journey, most of it clay jars filled with oil. A bundle of poles was lashed lengthwise down the horse's back, and each had a lantern swinging at the end of it. In the ways, Loyal said, it was darker than the darkest night. The partially filled lanterns sloshed with the motion of the horse and clinked against each other with a tinny sound. It was not a very loud noise, but in the hour before dawn, Camlann was quiet, silent. The dull metallic clinks sounded as if they could be heard a mile away. When the run led out into a street, Loyal chose his direction without a pause. He seemed to know exactly where he was going now, as if the route he needed to follow was becoming clearer. Rand did not understand how the Ogier could find the waygate, and Loyal had not been able to explain very well. He just knew, he said. He could feel it. Loyal claimed it was like trying to explain how to breathe. As they hurried up the street, Rand looked back toward the corner where the Queen's blessing lay. According to Lamgwen, there were still half a dozen white cloaks not far down from that corner. Their interest was all on the inn, but a noise would surely bring them. No one was out at this hour for a reputable reason. The horseshoes seemed to ring on the paving stones like bells. The lanterns clattered as if the pack horse were shaking them deliberately. Not until they had rounded another corner did he stop looking over his shoulder. He heard relieved sighs from the other Emmonsfielders as they came round it too. Loyal appeared to be following the most direct path to the waygate, wherever it took them. Sometimes they trotted down broad avenues, empty save for an occasional dog skulking in the dark. Sometimes they hurried along alleys, as narrow as the stable run, where things squished under an unwary step. Nynaeve complained softly about the resulting smells, but no one slowed down. The darkness began to lessen, fading toward a dark gray. Faint glimmers of dawn pearled the sky above the eastern rooftops. A few people appeared on the streets, bundled up against the early cold, heads down while they yet dreamed of their beds. Most paid no mind to anyone else. Only a handful even glanced at the line of people and horses, with Loyal at its head, and only one of those truly saw them. That one man flicked his eyes at them, just like the others, already sinking back into his own thoughts when he suddenly stumbled and almost fell, turning himself back around to stare. There was only light enough to see shapes, but that was too much. Seen at a distance by himself, the Ogier could have passed for a tall man leading an ordinary horse, or for an ordinary man leading an undersized horse. With the others in line behind him to give perspective, Loyal looked exactly as big as he was, half again as tall as any man should be. The man took one look and, with a strangled cry, set off running, his cloak flapping behind him. There would be more people in the streets soon, very soon. Rand eyed a woman hurrying past on the other side of the street, seeing nothing but the pavement in front of her feet. More people to notice soon. The eastern sky grew lighter.
There, Loyal announced at last. It is under there.
It was a shop, he pointed to, still closed for the night. The tables out front were bare, the awnings over them rolled up tight, the door stoutly shuttered. The windows above, where the shopkeeper lived, were still dark.
Under, Matt exclaimed incredulously. How in the light can we?
Moraine raised a hand that cut him off and motioned for them to follow her into the alley beside the shop. Horses and people together, they crowded the opening between the two buildings. Shaded by the walls, it was darker there than on the street, near to full night again.
There must be a cellar door, Moraine muttered. Ah, yes.
Abruptly, light blossomed. A coolly glowing ball the size of a man's fist hung suspended over the Aes Sedai's palm, moving as she moved her hand. Rand thought that it was a measure of what they had been through, that everyone seemed to take it as a matter of course. She put it close to the door she had found, slanted almost flat to the ground. With a hasp held by thick bolts and an iron lock bigger than Rand's hand, and thick with old rust. Loyal gave the lock a tug.
I can pull it off, hasp and all, but it will make enough noise to wake the whole neighborhood.
Let us not damage the Goodman's property if we can avoid it.
Moraine studied the lock intently for a moment. Suddenly she gave the rusty iron a tap with her staff, and the lock fell open neatly. Hastily, Loyal undid the lock and swung the doors up, propping them back. Moraine went down the ramp thus revealed, lighting her way with the glowing ball. Aldeeb stepped delicately behind her.
Light the lanterns and come down, she called softly. There is plenty of room. Hurry, it will be light out soon.
Rand hurriedly untied the pulled lanterns off the pack horse, but even before the first was lit, he realized he could see Matt's features. People would be filling the streets in minutes, and the shopkeeper would be coming down to open up for business, all wondering why the alleyway was crammed full of horses. Matt muttered something nervously about taking horses indoors, but Rand was glad to lead his down the ramp. Matt followed, grumbling, but no less quickly. Rand's lantern swung on the end of its pole, bumping the ceiling if he was not careful, and neither Red nor the pack horse liked the ramp. Then he was down and getting out of Matt's way. Moraine let her floating light die, but as the rest joined them, the added lanterns lit the open space. The cellar was as long and as wide as the building above, much of the space taken up by brick columns, flaring up from narrow bases to five times as big at the ceiling. The place seemed made up from a series of arches. There was plenty of room, but Rand still felt crowded. Loyal's head brushed the ceiling. As the rusted lock had foretold, the cellar had not been used in a long time. The floor was bare except for a few broken barrels filled with odds and ends, and a thick layer of dust. Motes, stirred up by so many feet, sparkled in the lantern light. Lan was last in, and as soon as he had Mondarb down the ramp, he climbed back to pull the doors shut.
Blood and ashes, Matt growled. Why would they build one of these gates in a place like this?
It was not always like this,
Loyal said. His rumbling voice echoed in the cavernous space.
Not always. No.
The Ogier was angry, Rand realized with a shock.
Once trees stood here. Every kind of tree that would grow in this place, every kind of tree that Ogier could coax to grow here. The great trees, 100 spans high. Shade of branch and cool breezes to catch the smell of leaf and flower and hold the memory of the peace of the studding. All that murdered for this.
His fist thumped a column. The column seemed to shake under that blow. Rand was certain he heard bricks crack. Waterfalls of dry mortar slid down the column.
What is already woven cannot be undone, Moraine said gently. It will not make the trees grow again for you to bring the building down on our heads.
Loyal's drooping eyebrows made him look more abashed than a human face could have managed.
With your help, Loyal, perhaps we can keep the groves that still stand from falling under the shadow. You have brought us to what we seek.
As she moved to one of the walls, Rand realized that that wall was different from the others. They were ordinary brick. This was intricately worked stone, fanciful swirls of leaves and vines, pale even under its coat of dust. The brick and mortar were old, but something about the stone said it had stood there long, long before the brick was fired. Later builders, themselves centuries gone, had incorporated what already stood, and still later men had made it part of a cellar. One part of the carved stone wall, right in the center, was more elaborate than the rest. As well done as the rest was, it appeared a crude copy in comparison. Worked in hard stone, those leaves seemed soft, caught in one frozen moment as a gentle summer breeze stirred them. For all of that, they had the feel of age, as much greater than the rest of the stone, as the rest was older than the brick. That old and more. Loyal looked at them, as if he would rather be anywhere else but there, even out in the streets with another mob.
Avendisora, Moraine murmured, resting her hand on a trefoil leaf in the stonework.
Rand scanned the carving. That was the only leaf of its kind he could find.
The leaf of the tree of life is the key, the Aes Sedai said,
and the leaf came away in her hand. Rand blinked. From behind him he heard gasps. That leaf had seemed no less a part of the wall than any other. Just as simply, the Aes Sedai set it against the pattern a hand span lower. The three-pointed leaf fit there as if the space had been intended for it, and once more it was part of the whole. As soon as it was in place, the entire nature of the central stonework changed. He was sure now that he could see the leaves ruffled by some unfelt breeze. He almost thought they were verdant under the dust, a tapestry of thick spring greenery there in the lantern-lit cellar. Almost imperceptibly at first, a split opened in the middle of the ancient carving, widening as the two halves slowly swung into the cellar until they stood straight out. The backs of the gates were worked as the fronts, the same profusion of vines and leaves, almost alive. Behind, or should have been dirt or the cellar of the next building, a dull reflective shimmering faintly caught their images.
I have heard, Loyal said, half mourning, half fearful, that once the way gates shone like mirrors. Once, who entered the ways walked through the sun and the sky. Once.
We have no time for waiting, Moraine said.
Lan went past her, leading Mondarb, pulled lantern in hand. His shadowy reflection approached him, leading a shadowy horse. Man and reflection seemed to step into each other at the shimmering surface, and both were gone. For a moment, the black stallion balked, an apparently continuous rein connecting him to the dim shape of his own image. The rein tightened, and the warhorse, too, vanished. For a minute, everyone in the cellar stood staring at the way gate.
Hurry, Moraine urged. I must be the last through. We cannot leave this open for anyone to find by chance. Hurry!
With a heavy sigh, Loyal strode into the shimmer. Tossing its head, his big horse tried to hold back from the surface and was hauled through. They were gone as completely as the water in Mondarb. Hesitantly, Rand poked his lantern at the way gate. The lantern sank into its reflection, the two merging until both were gone. He made himself keep on walking forward, watching the pole disappear into itself inch by inch. And then he was stepping into it himself, entering the gate. His mouth fell open. Something icy slid along his skin as if he were passing through a wall of cold water. Time stretched out. The cold enveloped one hair at a time, shivered over his clothes, thread by thread. Abruptly, the chill burst like a bubble, and he paused to catch his breath.
He was inside the ways.
Just ahead, Lan and Loyal waited patiently by their horses. All around them was blackness that seemed to stretch on forever. Their lanterns made a small pool of light around them, too small, as if something pressed back the light or ate it. Of a sudden anxious, he jerked at his reins. Red and the packhorse came leaping through, nearly knocking him down. Stumbling, he caught himself and hurried to the water and the ogier, pulling the nervous horses behind him. The animals whickered softly. Even Mondub appeared to take some comfort from the presence of other horses.
Go easy when you pass through a way gate, Rand, Loyal cautioned. Things are different inside the ways than out. Look.
He looked back the way the ogier pointed, thinking to see the same dull shimmer. Instead, he could see into the cellar, as if through a large piece of smoked glass set in the blackness. Disturbingly, the darkness around the window into the cellar gave a sense of depth, as though the opening stood alone with nothing around or behind it but the dark. He said as much with a shaky laugh, but Loyal took him seriously.
You could walk all the way around it, and you would not see a thing from the other side. I would not advise it, though. The books aren't very clear about what lies behind the way gates. I think you could become lost there, and never find your way out.
Rand shook his head and tried to concentrate on the way gate itself, rather than what lay behind it. But that was just as disturbing in its own fashion. If there had been anything to look at in the darkness besides the way gate, he would have looked at it. In the cellar, through the smoky dimness, Moraine and the others were plain enough, but they moved as if in a dream. Every blink of an eye seemed a deliberate, exaggerated gesture. Matt was making his way to the way gate, as though walking through clear jelly, his legs seeming to swim forward.
The wheel turns faster in the ways, Loyal explained.
He looked at the darkness surrounding them, and his head sunk in between his shoulders.
None alive know more than fragments. I fear what I don't know about the ways, Rand.
The Dark One, Lan said, cannot be defeated without chancing risks. But we are alive at this moment, and before us is the hope of remaining alive. Do not surrender before you are beaten, Ogier.
You would not speak so confidently if you had ever been in the ways.
The normal distant thunder of Loyal's voice was muted. He stared at the blackness as if he saw things there.
I never have before, either. But I've seen Ogier who have been through a way gate and come out again. You would not speak so if you had.
Matt stepped through the gate and regained normal speed. For an instant, he stared at the seemingly endless darkness, then came running to join them, his lantern bobbing on its pole, his horse leaping behind him, almost sending him sprawling. One by one, the others passed through, Perrin and Egwene and Nynaeve, each pausing in shocked silence before hurrying to join the rest. Each lantern enlarged the pool of light, but not as much as it should have. It was as if the dark became denser the more light there was, thickening as it fought against being diminished. That was not a line of reasoning Rand wanted to follow. It was bad enough just being there without giving the darkness a will of its own. Everyone seemed to feel the oppressiveness, though. There were no wry comments from Matt here, and Egwene looked as if she wished she could rethink her decision to come. They all silently watched the way gate, that last window into the world they knew. Finally, only Moraine was left in the cellar, dimly lit by the lantern she had taken. The Aes Sedai still moved in that dreamlike way. Her hand crept as it found the leaf of the Avendisora. It was located lower in the stonework on this side, Rand saw, just where she had placed it on the other. Plucking it free, she put it back in the original position. He wondered suddenly if the leaf on the other side had moved back too. The Aes Sedai came through, leading Aldeeb as the stone gates slowly, slowly began closing behind her. She came to join them, the light of her lantern leaving the gates before they were shut. Blackness swallowed the narrowing view of the cellar. In the constrained light of their lanterns, blackness surrounded them totally. Suddenly it seemed as if the lanterns were the only light left in the world. Rand realized that he was jammed shoulder to shoulder in between Perrin and Egwene. Egwene gave him a wide-eyed look and pressed closer, and Perrin made no move to give him room. There was something comforting about touching another human being when the whole world had just been swallowed up by dark. Even the horses seemed to feel the ways, pushing them into a tighter and tighter knot. Outwardly unconcerned, Moraine and Lan swung into their saddles, and the Aes Sedai leaned forward, arms resting on her carved staff across the high pommel of her saddle.
We must be on our way, Loyal.
Loyal gave a start and nodded vigorously.
Yes, yes, Aes Sedai, you are right. Not a minute longer than need be.
He pointed to a broad strip of white running under their feet, and Rand stepped away from it hastily. All the Two Rivers folk did. Rand thought the floor had been smooth once, but the smoothness was pitted now, as if the stone had the pox. The white line was broken in several places.
This leads from the way gate to the first guiding. From there?
Loyal looked around anxiously, then scrambled onto his horse with none of the reluctance he had shown earlier. The horse wore the biggest saddle the head groom had been able to find, but Loyal filled it from pommel to cantle. His feet hung down on either side, almost to the animal's knees.
Not a minute longer than need be, he muttered.
Reluctantly, the others mounted.
Moraine and Lan rode on either side of the Ogier, following the white line through the dark. Everyone else crowded in behind as close as they could get, the lanterns bobbing over their heads. The lanterns should have given enough light to fill a house, but 10 feet away from them it stopped. The blackness stopped it, as if it had struck a wall. The creak of saddles and click of horseshoes on stone seemed to travel only to the edge of light.
Rand's hand kept drifting to his sword. It was not that he thought there was anything out there against which he could use the sword to defend himself. It did not seem as if there was anywhere for something to be. The bubble of light around them could as well have been a cave surrounded by stone, completely surrounded, with no way out. The horses might have been walking a treadmill for the change around them. He gripped the hilt as if the pressure of his hand there could press away the stone he felt weighing down on him. Touching the sword, he could remember Tam's teaching. For a little while, he could find the calm of the void. But the weight always returned, compressing the void until it was only a cavern inside his mind, and he had to start over again, touching Tam's sword to remember. It was a relief when something did change, even if it was only a tall slab of stone standing on end, that appeared out of the dark before them, the broad white line stopping at its base. Sinuous curves of metal inlaid the wide surface, graceful lines that vaguely reminded Rand of vines and leaves. Discolored pocks marked stone and metal alike.
The guiding,
Loyal said, and leaned out of his saddle to frown at the cursive metal inlays.
Ogier script, Moraine said, but so broken I can barely make out what it says.
I hardly can either, Loyal said, but enough to know we go this way.
He turned his horse aside from the guiding. The edges of their light caught other stoneworks, what appeared to be stone-walled bridges, arcing off into the darkness, and gently sloping ramps, without railings of any kind, leading up and down. Between the bridges and the ramps ran a chest-high balustrade, however, as though falling was a danger there at any rate. Plain white stone made the balustrade, and simple curves and rounds fitted together in complex patterns. Something about all of it seemed almost familiar to Rand, but he knew it had to be his imagination groping for anything familiar where everything was strange. At the foot of one of the bridges, Loyal paused to read the single line on the narrow column stone there. Nodding, he rode up onto the bridge.
This is the first bridge of our path, he said over his shoulder.
Rand wondered what held the bridge up. The horse's hooves made a gritty sound as if bits of stone flaked off at every step. Everything he could see was covered with shallow holes, some tiny pinpricks, others shallow, rough-edged craters astride across, as if there had been a rain of acid or the stone was rotting. The guard wall showed cracks and holes, too. In places it was gone altogether for as much as a span. For all he knew, the bridge could be solid stone all the way to the center of the earth, but what he saw made him hope it would stand long enough for them to reach the other end. Whatever that is. The bridge did end, eventually, in a place that looked no different from its beginning. All Rand could see was what their little pool of light touched, but he had the impression that it was a large space, like a flat-topped hill, with bridges and ramps leaving all around it. An island, Loyal called it. There was another script-covered guiding. Rand placed it in the middle of the island, with no way of knowing if he was right or not. Loyal read, then took them up one of the ramps, curving up and up. After an interminable climb, curving continuously, the ramp led off onto another island, just like the one where it had begun. Rand tried to imagine the curve of the ramp and gave up.
This island can't be right on top of the other one. It can't be.
Loyal consulted yet another slab filled with Ogier script, found another signpost column, led them onto another bridge. Rand no longer had any idea in what direction they were traveling. In their huddle of light in the dark, one bridge was exactly like another, except that some had breaks in the guard walls and some did not. Only the degree of damage to the guidings gave any difference to the islands. Rand lost track of time. He was not even sure how many bridges they had crossed or how many ramps they had traveled. The water must have had a clock in his head, though. Just when Rand felt the first stir of hunger, Lan announced quietly that it was midday and dismounted to parcel out bread and cheese and dried meat from the pack horse.
Perrin was leading the animal by that time. They were on an island, and Loyal was busily deciphering the directions on the guiding. Matt started to climb down from his saddle, but Moraine said, "Time is too valuable in the ways to waste. For us, much too valuable. We will stop when it is time to sleep." Lan was already back on Mondarb. Rand's appetite slipped at the thought of sleeping in the ways. It was always night there, but not the kind of night for sleeping. He ate while he rode, though, like everyone else. It was an awkward affair, trying to juggle his food, the lantern pole, and his reins, but for all of his imagined lack of appetite, he licked the last crumbs of bread and cheese off his hands when he was done, and thought fondly of more. He even began to think the ways were not so bad. Not nearly as bad as Loyal made out. They might have the heavy feel of the hour before a storm, but nothing changed. Nothing happened. The ways were almost boring. Then the silence was broken by a startled grunt from Loyal. Rand stood in his stirrups to peer past the Ogier, and swallowed hard at what he saw. They were in the middle of a bridge, and only a few feet ahead of Loyal, the bridge ended in a jagged gap.